You have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The title of today's sermon is Hallowed Be Thy Name. You'll see there listed Jeremiah chapter 3, 11 through 20 as our reading from the Old Covenant text. I commend that to you for your reading this afternoon. We will take a gander at that passage in depth 2 weeks from now on Sunday evening. But for this morning, let's get started. Return to Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 7 through 9. When our Lord teaches His disciples to pray, He does something, I think, striking. As we said last week, He doesn't begin with human need. There's no petition for daily bread, no plea for forgiveness, no cry for deliverance. Jesus begins with God. Before we ask for provision, we're taught to ask for reverence. Before we plead for mercy, we're trained to seek God's glory. You see, this order is not accidental. It's covenantal. Prayer in the Bible is never merely therapeutic or transactional. It's relational. And it begins where the covenant always begins, with whom God is. Not with what we want. Martin Luther once said that the first petition of the Lord's Prayer is the greatest petition. Because if God's name is not hallowed, everything else falls in, if God's name is hallowed, everything else falls into place. But if it is not, nothing else truly helps us. So when we pray, we need to understand, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're not offering religious filler. We're aligning ourselves with the chief end of man here. And that's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Our propositional statement today is, in the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Christ teaches us to desire, depend upon, and display His holiness, the holiness of God's name above all else. In the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Christ teaches us to desire, depend upon, and display the holiness of God's name above all else. Our reading again for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 7 through 9. I remind you that what is being read is the very Word of God. And it would serve us well if we paid it careful attention. Our Father and our God, again, this is Your Word, holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible. I pray our only rule of faith and practice. And Lord, as we've opened it this day, we ask that You would unstop our ears. Remove the scales from our eyes. Crush our hearts of stone. Grant that we would receive a word from You and be changed forevermore. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands true forever. Amen. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer teaches us to desire, depend upon, and display the holiness of God's name above all else. Note with me who God has revealed Himself to be. Hallowed here means to be treated as holy, to be set apart, to be honored, revered. But I want you to notice something carefully here in this text. We're not praying that God would become holy. We're not praying that God would become set apart, honored, and revered, if you will, in the sense that He needs to change. We're not praying that God would become holy. God is already infinitely, eternally, unchangeably holy. Amen. Matthew Henry writes, God's name is already holy, but we pray that it may be hallowed by us and others. Hallowed here is not an adjective. It's a verb in the Greek. It's a verb. We are not praying that God would become holy. We are praying that His name would be set apart, honored, revered, and seen as holy by us and others. In Scripture, God's name, you know, always represents His revealed character, His attributes, works, promises, and covenant faithfulness. When Moses asked God's name, God proclaims, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So to pray, hallowed be thy name, is to say, let everything you have revealed yourself to be, holy, faithful, sovereign, merciful, be honored as such. Let everything you are, triune God of the universe, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, let everything you are be so revered and honored by all. Derek Thomas rightly notes here, this petition is a plea that God would so work in the world and in us that His glory would not be obscured by display, but displayed. You see, this is covenantal language here in the Lord's Prayer. God has bound His name to His people. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 7. His reputation is tied to how He is known among the nations and among His own children. God has bound Himself to His people in His name. We should be a people above all others who desire that the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, be hallowed, be honored, revered by all. My question is this. Do we pray in that manner? That all would come to see the glory of the name of God. You see, in the ancient Near East, a king's name carried his authority. And to misuse the king's name was treason. And to act in the king's name was to act with full royal authority. And that's why David, if you'll remember, that's why David confronts Goliath, not with military credentials, which he had none, not with military credentials, but by saying, I come to you in the name of what? The Lord of hosts. Remember, that's how David confronts Goliath. In the name of the Lord of hosts. You see, God's name is never a label, it's a claim. Let me say that again. God's name is never a label. It's a claim. God's name is already holy. We pray that it may be hallowed by us and by others. This drives us to ask what prayer is ultimately for. Remember what we're doing here. I pray by the Spirit's influence in our lives and our hearts that we're wrestling with the quality, if you will, of our own personal prayer lives as well as our corporate prayer life. That we are struggling and wrestling with how we do indeed engage with the God of the universe. How we pray. Now, this petition here, and it's a petition, remember, it's a petition It's not a statement, if you will, or an adjective to describe who God is. This is the first petition of the prayer. We're praying that God's name would be hallowed, that it would be revered first by us and then by others. This petition is teaching us what prayer is fundamentally all about. You see, prayer is not first about changing circumstances. It's really about ordering our loves. And far too often when we go to God in prayer, it's about our circumstances, right? We're always better prayer warriors when the wheels fall off. Do you find that in your own personal walk with the Lord? You're always better and quick to pray and engage God when you think everything around you is falling apart and your circumstances aren't aligning with your desires. You're not getting what you want. God's not doing what you think He should be doing. Therefore, you're starting to feel the squeeze of that, if you will. Therefore, it's time to engage God. Now I'm a prayer warrior. Because my desires and my circumstances aren't what I want. But we're really being taught here by Jesus what prayer is ultimately for. And it's not about changing our circumstances. It's about ordering our love, our loves. What is it that you desire most? You can see clearly, if you will, your progress in your own personal sanctification in your prayer life. And we all know that we fall short of the standards set by God and what God deserves as God from us in prayer. Think about this. We talked about it before. The God of the universe welcomes us in Christ Jesus to come boldly and freely into the throne room of grace, and we kick and scream on our way in. If you don't believe in your own wickedness and sinfulness, look at your prayer life. Well, I'm a prayer warrior. I pray. Yes, I know. Everybody prays at a meal. And everybody, when we go out to eat, we pray. But we're not talking about that anymore, are we? We're talking about examining our hearts in light of our own personal prayer life and our corporate prayer life. The quality, if you will, of our prayers. And this is about ordering what we love. What is it you love? Your prayers reveal what you love most. Your prayers will always reveal to you what you love most. And if you begin by coming into the throne room of grace, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, with your circumstances, you're out of order. You've come into the courtroom and you've begun already on the wrong foot. You're out of order. You're revealing truly what you desire and what it is you love when you come to God that way. God, I got this going on. You know I got this going on. I know you love me, but you know what? Change this circumstance. Change it. It's really why I'm here. And I know I'm giving you all this nice fluff at the beginning of it of how great you are and how you love me and thanks for Jesus. But really, my heart is here, Lord. I don't like this. Change it. Make it go away. When we go and approach God that way, we're approaching Him out of order. We're revealing truly what we love. Jesus is teaching us that the highest concern of the redeemed heart is not comfort, success, or even safety. It's the glory of God's name. Amen. For the redeemed, the highest concern is not comfort. It's not success. It's not even your safety. It should be and is the glory of God's name. You see, this petition reorders our priorities. We see here God's honor before our happiness. Imagine that. God's kingdom before our comfort. No way. God's holiness before our plans. Ouch. This first petition should reorder your priorities. You should desire God's honor before your own happiness, God's kingdom before your own comfort, God's holiness before your own plans. And yet we go to God seeking happiness, comfort, and the establishment of our own plan. And we wonder why God never seems to answer our prayers. And I'm not laughing. I'm laughing at myself. Because I'm one of those people too. Really, God? How comes? Always go to God seeking Him first. Seeking the glory of His name. You see, in covenantal terms, this is all about your allegiance. And to hallow God's name is really to recognize Him as King, Father, and Lord. To hallow God's name is to recognize Him as King, Father, and Lord. Luther, I love here, God's name is hallowed when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God lead holy lives according to it. Amen. In other words, this petition reaches both doctrine and life, both truth and practice. What we believe and how we live, this is what this establishes, this great truth. Third, we've answered what prayer is ultimately all about. We should conclude with how God's name is hallowed on earth. How is God's name hallowed on earth? Now, I need you to understand, it's not by mere words. Christ has established that clearly here. As He don't be like them. Don't do that. Right? Don't be out in public praying away, tooting your own horn, looking for your own glory. God's name is not merely not hallowed by mere words. But it is hallowed by God's work in us and through us. How is God's name hallowed on earth? By His work in you and through you. Matthew Henry, we pray that God would enable us to glorify Him in all that whereby He makes Himself known. God's name is hallowed as He works in you and through you. Now, this includes by right worship. God's name's hallowed when He is worshiped according to His word, not according to our preference. We see this in John 4. How is God's name hallowed? How is it revered and seen and set apart holy? And as what it is, by us first and then by others? Well, by rightly worshiping Him. That's why the preaching of the word and the sacraments is the central thing of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what it's about. The means of grace Christ has given us. Most churches fail because they don't employ the means of grace. Now, you say, wait a minute, Pastor. The church down the street that has smoke lights and all kinds of craziness going on, it has thousands of people in it. Is that the church? Is that the church? Well, these people do. Now, I'm not bashing our brothers anywhere. But I am going to make this statement, and I'll make it publicly. If a church does not employ the means of grace properly or seek to apply the means of grace properly, because none of us do it completely, right? Seek to, is it a church? That's the question we must ask and answer. The preaching and the proclamation of the word is how God has brought people from death to life. It is the central thing in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's no other
important thing, a more important thing a church does than gets together, reads the Word of God, and then talks about it. Which is a little fat guy running around the stage or chancel area and talk about it. That's what God has ordained to bless the church. It's not about programs. It's not about music. It's not about any of those things. They all should be done with the highest quality and standard. Amen? Thank you. But it's not about that. It's about the proclamation of the Word. As God works in us and through us by the proclamation of His Word, He is seen by us and by a dying world in our right worship. It's also seen by holy living. Again, go to Sunday school. If you don't believe in the providence of God and God sovereignly doing something, you should see the connection between Sunday school and preaching right now. And if you're not growing in your sanctification, check yourself. Because God is doing something to sanctify us. He's united Sunday school in the pulpit. By holy living. God's name's profaned when His people live no differently than the world. Think about that. God's name is profaned when His people live no differently than the world. The credibility of God's name in the world is often tied to, the faithfulness of God's people. Ooh, now stop. Stop. The credibility of God's name is often tied to me. You. It's often tied to the faithfulness of people like you and me. That should make your socks wet. Your palms sweaty. Your heart skip a beat. God's name is tied to my faithfulness in the world. Third, by God's witness. God's name's hallowed when Christ is proclaimed as Savior and Lord and when sinners are brought from death to life. We see that clearly. Now, this entire petition anticipates really the cross and resurrection. God's name is most fully hallowed where Christ is most fully known. God's name is most fully hallowed where Christ is most clearly known. Ezekiel 36, God rebukes Israel because His holy name was profaned among the nations. Not because the nations misunderstood God, but because God's people misrepresented Him. Yet God promises, listen to me, God promises redemption. Redemption, quote, for the sake of my holy name. And it shows us that salvation itself is God's way of restoring His honor. The misconception, beloved, is it's about us. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about His glory. It's about learning to live in accordance with 1 Peter and the principles taught there. That others would revere and hallow the name of Christ Jesus, the triune God, in and through your life as the Spirit of God works His will in accordance with His pleasure. Amen? This first petition of the Lord's Prayer should really put us in check. It should freeze us. But far too often we, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Daily bread, debtors, all this. No. We should stop there. That's enough to last all day long. Hallowed be your name. Is the name of the triune God the glory of His name? that which motivates you to pray. If it's not, and it's your own circumstances, you're really bringing perhaps discipline and chastisement upon yourself in the midst of an ugly circumstance. Right? Because God won't let His children abuse Him. And when we come with our own desires and loves that are greater than our love for Him, He won't let His children stay there. If God appears to not be answering your prayers, the first question isn't, is God there and is God good? The first question should be, am I praying wrongly? Are my desires out of accord with what He desires? Am I seeking self before His glory? And is He not answering you to teach you that your chief end is to glorify Him and enjoy Him? We've come today to enjoy Him. I pray that we glorify Him as we do. Our Father and our God, again, we thank You for the privilege that is ours in Christ Jesus to even call You Father. Make that first and foremost real to us. Then show us, God, the Holy Spirit, we pray, our motive. Do we come, Lord, seeking Your glory above all else? Seeking truly that Your name would be hallowed in us and seen by others in us and in the world? Father, is that our greatest joy? To see glory brought to You. Lord, even as we come to the table, we realize that far too often that's not. That we desire more than anything the glory of our own name. That we would be hallowed. That we would be seen. That others would praise and adore us for who we are. So Lord, we confess, even before we come to the table this day, that we fall short of this petition. But change us. Open our eyes. Make us anew. Grant that we would love You better. And more each day. For the sake of Christ, we ask it. Amen.